Hello, my friend, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Paul White. Thanks for joining me on this 20th day of November. We are heading into the Thanksgiving week. By next weekend, it's probably one of the longer weekends, holiday weekends, on the American calendar. I think a lot of people get Thursday next week and then try to take Friday, and then you get Saturday and Sunday. It's one of those big, long weeks of hopefully family and reflection and whatever you have planned. And as we head into that this week, I just pray there'll be a lot of people traveling, praying safe travels on you and wonderful times together with the people you love. I want to introduce today the message that we'll put up tomorrow. And if you're traveling this week, maybe this will be one of those podcasts you listen to as you drive across the country. And that not just this DDP, but the message we post tomorrow. I also want to remind you that we always post our midweek service. We are actually holding that midweek service a little earlier this week. We have a double tomorrow in Flowery Branch. We have our monthly meeting with our group at 3 o'clock Eastern Time, and then we're going to just fellowship together and then come back in and have a second sermon that is our normal Tuesday night sermon. So if you were planning on making it out to the Tuesday evening in Flowery Branch, we will not have it this coming Tuesday. Instead, we will have it on Sunday. And I will post the video of that on Wednesday like normal. And in fact, it will be up earlier than usual because we'll already have it recorded. So you'll have a bunch of material on your drive, wherever you might be going, or your flight, whatever. And one of the things I hope you'll listen to is the sermon that we put up tomorrow. And it's titled, The Inescapable God. This is a message that I did this last week. It's just me and the camera and you. I'm not on the road. I'm not in a church. I'm at home. Had a word on my heart for a couple of weeks. Thought it was the perfect time to release it. One of those messages I hope that challenges your negative identity and inspires you to a positive identity in who He is. But it looks at, first of all, it'll look at the inescapable God psalm, at least a portion of it, Psalm 139. And then we will take you on an Old Testament journey into a spot where I think, and David's the one that wrote Psalm 139, where I think maybe David used that song. Maybe that's the kind of song he uses when he plays for King Saul. We walk you through the King Saul incident, where him and David encounter one another. David plays for him music and I think sings as well, and I'll show you why in that sermon. And that relieves the spirit on Saul. What is the spirit that's on Saul? Why is he so pressed? And what is it about what David sings that gives him release? And what would that look like for us in light of who Christ is? I think you're going to enjoy this. If nothing else, it's a great look at a great song and then incorporate some Old Testament stories that might help the narrative. The Inescapable God will post tomorrow at paulwhiteministries.com, video and audio. The audio only will be right here wherever you're listening to the DDP. You can also listen to The Inescapable God. Of course, we will have a podcast up as well on our normal podcast rotation, 7 of those a week, 2 of the long ones. That gives us 9 total drops every week, and we hope we're being a blessing to you. Speaking of blessing, I've been blessed just walking through these stories with Abraham. We're in Genesis 13, and remember, a few days ago, I told you that, and we spent some time on this, the altar is the place where the Lord appears. The altar is the place. We've maybe for too long emphasized the altar is a place where things go to die. The truth is the altar is a place where you establish a foothold on the revelation that's been given to you. So when a revelation happens, an altar goes up because you're building off of that moment. You're building off of that revelation. At the end of, or in the middle of chapter 12, Abram built an altar, and then he moved on. And then after the Egypt incident, he moves back to the altar because he realizes, I got to go back to the place where I'm useful, back to the place where I have revelation. At this place, he and Lot now have an encounter in chapter 13. We've spent the last couple of days dealing with that encounter and how there are some things you've got to leave behind and you've got some separations you've got to make. Well, then after Lot separates from Abram, God tells Abram to lift up his eyes and look north, south, east, and west. All the land, we're in verses 14 through the end of the chapter, verse 18. All the land you see, I'm going to give to you and your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. I want to stop right here and say, if there's ever a verse that tends towards Paul's interpretation of what the Israel of God looks like in the Old Testament, this is it. Remember, Paul says that Abraham's seed are those who have faith in Christ. So Paul expands the boundaries of what it means to be a part of the family of Israel. For Paul, it has nothing to do with natural circumcision. In fact, in the book of Romans, he says that a true Jew is not one who's circumcised in body, but one who's circumcised in heart. Well, there was no such thing as a circumcision of heart. That's a spiritual move. That was promised in the Pentateuch, but fulfilled in Christ. Christ becomes the one who cuts away the old heart and inserts a new heart, a heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. These are all fulfilled in Christ. Paul sees that as entrance into Israel. He calls that the Israel of God. The reason I say there's no better description of Paul's version of Israel than Genesis 13, 16 is because the dust of the earth, if you can number the dust of the earth, you'll number your descendants. Well, that's an overwhelming number. And that number was not Israel. Israel was always numbered. In fact, you could number Israel. They did it constantly. For Israel to be so broad that it can't be numbered, you're going to have to get outside of natural Israel. You're going to have to include Gentiles who come in through faith in Christ. And literally, there is no way we can number the people in history who have been a part of that family. And we're not talking about Jews. We're talking about the Israel of God. And then, arise, walk in the land, its length and its width, and I'll give it to you. Now watch this in verse 18. Abram moved his tent, went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. So this nomad takes his tent and moves out into this place that God just had him walk off. Walk this land off, it's going to be yours. He puts his tent in the middle of that land, and what does he do? He doesn't build a house. He builds an altar. He's not building a house because this isn't his final destination. He builds an altar because he's established his future on the revelation he just received. He built an altar in 12. He builds an altar in 13. Building an altar is going to become a part of his life because he builds an altar, a fresh altar on a fresh revelation. When God speaks into your life, build your altar on a fresh revelation. Set your foundation not as a permanent residence in this land, but set the altar as a marker, like a milestone of where you are in the journey when God speaks to you, and you can use those altars as markers in your life. I can look back across the expanse of my life, my ministry, my marriage, and see moments, markers, where I set my destiny on what God said to me in that moment. And that's what we're looking for as we walk this out, and you'll find them as you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We go into 14 tomorrow. See you then. God bless.